Hello.
Howdy.
Jamie here, Andrew. Before you listen to this red hot episode, we're just letting you know we have a Patreon. $5 a month. And what does it get you, Drewy?
It gets you a 2 bonus episodes a month, possibly 3, depending on how the weeks align, I guess.
Exactly.
Every 2 weeks, we got a hot new episode popping at you. We've got offcuts, things that we couldn't fit into other episodes. Plus, we do standalone stuff. We've done some oral history of Sydney comedy. We're getting it. We're looking to get that kicking off again. And otherwise, just like a lot of fun. Just us goofing about.
Enjoy the episode.
Peace.
Hello. Welcome to another episode of Community Notice Board, a podcast about suburbs we grew up in, local landmarks, and hometown heroes and coming-of-age tales. Almost forgot myself there. We have a very special guest in the studio, a pillar of the local community, owner of Matinee Coffee right here in Marrickville, where me and Drew go quite often.
I've been once.
That was with me.
Yeah, last week.
Yep. It's good.
Charles Cameron is here. How are you, Charles?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on the pod. After some pretty consistent negging on my behalf to get on the pod.
Were you getting negged the whole time?
We were getting negged. Do you want to just move the mics? Just fold it down so it's pointed at your mouth?
Yeah.
Now we're in business.
Now we're podding. And so the place that you wanted to do, the place you came from, is Hurlstone Park.
That is correct. Mm. In the inner west of Sydney, where my parents still live to this day.
Mm. Love that.
I kind of was inspired after listening to the Alexi episode on Leichhardt to kind of regale my stories of growing up in Sydney's inner west.
That is very funny because I would go into the cafe and it would be like, so when's my Hurlstone Park episode? And I'm like, it's coming. And here we are, baby. Mm.
Fantastic. I've been champing at the bit and now we're here. Yeah.
I remember going in once, I was going to work from your cafe. Mm-hmm. So I was like ready to go and there was a bit of a big line and I walked in and like just, you know, got to the end of the line, wait my turn. And then you spotted me and said, somebody get this man a podcast.
It's my worst time ever.
And then I just had to sit there and do my spreadsheets while everyone's like, this dork has a podcast?
White guy has a podcast? What's going on?
Everyone probably looked around and was like, me too, brother.
We're all editing our podcasts in the camera.
All just looking for that one piece of content to make us go viral. So Alexi also lived in Hurlstone Park for a little bit. He said he worked in a video store with your brother at one point.
Yes, so Alexi worked in a famous video store that was actually in Annandale called Mondo Movies, which was one of the kind of like
indie,
final cult video stores of Australia, along with like Video Shift in Balmain and like Dr. Watt in Bondi Junction.
I'll tell you this, Network Video Waverton kept going for quite a while.
Wow.
Nice. That's where I worked.
Oddly enough, because you're kind of from the area, Blockbuster Neutral Bay was there till like at least 2015, I feel like.
I'm not from Neutral Bay.
You're from close enough, bitch. You're from Wollstonecraft.
Yeah, all right, fine. This is my version of
every comedian never wants to admit they live near the North Shore at any point.
Yeah, I went to private school. I don't want to talk about it. Mondo Movies.
Yeah, so Mondo Movies in Annandale was where Alexi and my brother worked together, which was always funny because my name's Charles Cameron and my brother's name is James Cameron.
He was working
in a video store for a long time with Alexi, which was, comedy gold.
That's great.
Yeah. That was Alexi. I was like, give us some dirt on Hurlstone Park. And he goes, ask Charles's brother's name. And then he went, I'm just going to tell you now, it's James Cameron.
It's funny as well that Alexi ended up working with Cameron James.
All iterations of the guy. If he makes Terminator, if his brother's with Charles. Well,
how old's your brother James Cameron?
33.
Okay, yeah. So your parents sort of knew about the famous James Cameron when they made this choice.
Alien had come out.
Yeah.
Brother, I'm called James Kirk. There were 6 Star Trek movies. My parents, it was like one of my, it was one of my,
oh yeah.
It was literally one of my one of my first bits that I did. I did it the first time I did raw comedy because I looked into it because I asked my parents, I was like, why James Kirk? I was like, Star Trek is so huge, and they're like, we thought like at that point it had died off. Right. And then I looked, like I was born in 1986. Yeah, it was up to six major motion pictures by that point.
That's funny.
And I think probably
Next Generation.
Yeah, I think Next Generation and maybe even Deep Space Nine were out by that point. Yeah, well, so like there's a lot. Yeah, they just hated me, it turns out.
Yeah, right.
Give us like, what's your sort of impression of Hurlston Park, just as if you were describing it to a stranger?
Well, it's this little kind of little rapidly gentrifying suburb in the inner west that no one has any idea about. It's kind of like this great combination of like, it kind of has part of the really strong Portuguese neighborhood of Petersham. Like there's a really strong Portuguese influence in there, as well as like just a couple of like white families like my family that have been there forever and will not leave, because it's kind of one of the suburbs where you can still get like a gigantic house. Which, you know,
with like a big backyard and
with
stuff.
A big backyard that boomers love, even when their children have all moved out. Like they're going to hold on to that land.
Totally.
So like I guess my experiences are kind of like intertwined with like a great 90s childhood of like, you know, as we were talking about, like video stores, like Hurlston Park had a great independent video store in the main drag. It was called Oasis. It's the emblem was a palm tree.
Oh,
it was
gorgeous.
Kind of like a little, you know, someone had kind of like done a little collage, and on the top of Oasis Video Store, which is in the main street of Hurlston Park, Crinan Street, there were larger than life size cutouts of Mel Gibson as the Road Warrior from Mad Max 2 and Sylvester Stallone's Rambo, which were kind of like, you know, main feature of the Hurlston Park kind of
they
high,
never updated
high street.
Them. Just we're sticking with Mel. Like, we're sticking with Sly.
Exactly. Which, and it reached like kind of like the late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah. And like, I didn't even know. Like, I knew who these people were. But I had no idea what they were referencing to.
Okay. So you're just like, these are the two Hurlston Park guys.
Exactly.
I guess they're the owners.
These are just the guys that greet you when you come into town.
Portuguese immigrants. Out of the first
These are his two boys, exactly.
Okay, that's fine.
I love a good 90s like logo or something that looks really cool. Like I like, you know, the palm trees or whatever. There's a place in Queanbeyan where I grew up that was like an old 70s style like drive-in motel, and it was at the top of the like I think it's Yiriyara Road as you're coming in from out of town, and it had this like neon. Like light up, it was supposed to be a sun, and it had all like the spikes coming out of it, and it was just looked fucking awesome. And it was it would just always be lit up, and it was when you would go on holiday or go, like we'd drive to Queensland a lot, and so as you're coming down, that's how you knew you were home. You're like, oh, and we called it the Lisa Simpson sign because it had the spikes and it was all yellow. So as a kid you'd be like, oh, we're home, there's Lisa Simpson, there's Lisa Simpson. And then I was thinking like, oh, I wouldn't mind getting that tattooed on me. So I was like looking through to it, at looking through to see if I could find any pictures, because, you know, it's no longer a motel. And I found it, and I was looking through, and basically, so a developer bought the motel and now operates it as apartments. But they've kept the sign, and it just it doesn't look as cool because it's not lit up or anything. But they've kept the outer shell of the sign, and then it just says Sunshine Apartments. And then I thought, man, if I got that tattoo, people would be like, why do you like the apartments? You love those apartments?
Yeah, that's not that cool.
It's like, ah, that sucks. But
yeah. Just
like,
love development.
Love capitalism.
Oh, man. That's why I love the Meriton Group.
That's why I have my Merivale tattoo across my back. I just love quaint local businesses. But I remember my local video store was called Cajo's Videos, and the logo was just... the word Cajo.
Cajo.
C-A-J-O was the name of the owner.
So no, we just cool had Civic learner. Video and Video Easy. Never had an independent video store.
We had independence until Video Easy came to town.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you hate to stick it to the little guy, but Video Easy was much better.
Yeah, so I knew that I was home when I got off the train and there was Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Kind of just like larger than life. Nice.
So is Mel still there to this day?
Mel and Sly, unfortunately, have moved on.
The video shop's done, is it?
The video shop is done.
That's a bummer.
That is a bummer.
Yeah.
I'd love like an independent at least to come back. Like, just give me one independent video store with movies that you can't find on streaming, which happens all the time.
Don't give away our business. We have literally sat at the Vic for like 2 hours being like, what the world needs is a video store again.
And we're going to open it.
Yeah.
And the twist is, you're allowed to drink there.
It took us hours to come up with that twist. What differentiates it from a fucking loser video store? You can get annihilated there.
And there are pokies there.
Yeah, you can put money in the there's a where's the gold in there.
Speaking of a local Hurlston Park businesses, this is a place, the old McDonald's Hurlston Park, quaint little family business.
Oh,
this might be the worst reviewed McDonald's ever, because we love like looking at reviews of businesses.
Especially McDonald's.
I love your fast food reviews, because sometimes it can give you a bit of an insight into the suburb, how poorly reviewed it is and what they say.
A lot of time insight into the psychopaths that write reviews of fast food places.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And Lexi did kind of mention that, like, much in the same way that this happened in my hometown, the McDonald's car park was a scene of, like, we're going to meet there to fight.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Mm.
So,
yeah.
You know, like, that was the rumble zone in Queenborough. Yes.
A modern-day West Side Story.
Exactly. Yeah. They're going to rumble.
Yeah, yeah. When you're a jet, you're a jet.
This one, like, takes the cake. And, like, to the point where I collected one just because, like you say, Kirk, it's clearly someone who's insane. But, yeah, to avoid McDonald's Hurlston Park. There's, like, raw... Someone had a picture of like a raw McChicken, and I didn't even know that they could legally come. Like, I thought it was so processed that it arrived already cooked and they just flash fried it.
Yeah.
Somehow this guy got served up a raw one. Yeah. But this guy kills me. JoJo's, 2 years ago, 1-star review. Have been buying 3 to 5 coffees here every morning for over 6 months now. It's been getting worse by the day. Terrible. The barista needs to be retrained or taken off the coffee machine. Will not be buying coffee here again.
3 to 5 every morning.
I did the maths. He bought 720 coffees before he was like, this is not good. I'm not spending my hard-earned anymore.
When he said it's getting worse, I was like, yeah, your heart, like, clearly, or like your diarrhea, not the quality of the McDonald's.
I always give someone
coffee.
720 chances before I pull the plug.
Fool me 719 times. Shame on me.
And the other thing I want to talk about, which we've kind of touched on, is the Hurlston Park RSL.
Oh.
Is it?
What an institution.
Because it is huge. I've never been, but I always see it when I drive out of town, because you go down New Canterbury Road, I think it's on.
Mm. Yes.
And it looks like the kind of place that I would love to go and spend a Saturday afternoon. Mm. Kirky, I know you've been. It did come in 6th on the list of top 10 worst clubs and pubs for money laundering.
Oh.
So, like,
surely we can do better.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Well, here you go. Way ahead on top was the Canterbury Leagues Club. Mm. So as an area, I think you can be proud that so much illicit money is getting
out. Yes. 1 and 6.
Well represented.
Get you to 3.
But did your family, would you frequent for dinner? Or?
You see, my family was a little bit more kind of like aspirational. Like, yes, we were from Hurlston Park, but we gravitated to places like Summer Hill.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, the kind of... the nicer, more gentrified suburbs. Okay. I mean, we were definitely from Hurlston Park, but, and like Hurlston Park at that time was known for RSLs and fast food restaurants.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've spent, you know, many, attending long, insufferable dance recital at Hurlston Park RSL, or like going to the RSL itself. And, It's a wonderful, colourful establishment. Pretty much just because it's basically just a hangout for a whole bunch of people from different walks of life, which I guess is what RSLs are at, at their essence. But
I think at the essence, they're pokey dens.
Well, they're money laundering establishments, and, you know, a place to watch footy. But, also, the site where Albo had his victorious election night.
Yeah, so what was this?
Hurlston Park RSL.
Yeah,
Hurlston. That's where he did. Oh, okay.
That's where he did.
Yeah, right. That's where he declared victory.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
It's a real Four Seasons landscaping.
Okay. All right. There you go.
But yeah.
Well, he's like, because he's a local, right?
Yeah, he's a local.
He's married.
And I think at the time as well that when he did win, one of the local breweries made an Albo beer specifically for the night. So it's like canned beers with young Albo all over.
Yeah.
But I was just like, I think it's pretty cool to be like, yeah, we're going to go to... I mean, like, who would take you seriously if you're like, I'm a diet in the inner west kind of person, then be like, we're going... Hems has brought Vic in the park. Yeah, let's go exactly, there, you know? Exactly. Like, yeah.
Albo actually came to our house when we were growing up because there was a local neighborhood meeting about this stop sign, which many a person has avoided, and there's been many accidents.
So they have to call a meeting.
Well, they called a meeting to be like, should we continue with this stop sign or should we plow ahead with a roundabout? And Albo attended the...
This could have been done over Zoom, surely.
Well, not in 1993.
Okay, good point. Good
point. And Albo, when he was just the local member for Graindler, which he still is, attended a meeting and everyone was a little
starstruck. Was he pro stop sign or pro roundabout?
I think... well, the stops roundabout was going to be very contentious, so he just wanted to kind of like take the temperature, cool things down, and
not on my fucking watch you putting a roundabout in.
Ultimately, the stop sign has prevailed.
I'm going to put my cards on the table. Yeah. I'm pro roundabout. I like. Yeah. I love a roundabout.
Harder to avoid. Mm. You got to, like, you physically can't avoid them.
What do you mean avoid them?
Well, if everyone's ignoring the stop sign. If you put a roundabout, it's harder to ignore.
I see.
Mm. Yeah. Right? Like, you'll get airborne. Yeah.
Unless you got those really crappy roundabouts, which is like
You can really go over those.
Yeah, you just go straight over it. Raised brick.
I remember being on a school bus and the bus driver did that to a roundabout. Mm. And I remember thinking, like, that's bad. Oh, this guy just ran straight over top of that thing.
Well, yeah, but also if you're in a big bus, like, that's surely safer to just go straight ahead than it is to try and do this big, you know, turn, flip the bus trying to get around the new Helston Park roundabout.
We're going to do a heel flip over the roundabout. He's like, I don't think we could kick on the back of the bus that way.
Is the roundabout, was it built?
No, it's
still there. Far out. Yeah. It's a resilient stop sign.
Acknowledged it last night on my way to see my parents.
You have to get out and salute it and be like, thanks, Albo.
Yeah. So what was Albo like when you met him? How old were you?
I was, like Jamie, I was born in 1986, so I was seven also. Uh-huh. Oh, he was nice. He was
Hard to get a feel for a man when you're seven, I suppose.
Yeah. I like his stop sign qualities. I mean, like that. If I was seven, I could be so, like, I'd be pro Albo for life. He was like, hey, man, here's a Snickers.
Yeah,
I'd be like, that guy's a god.
Yeah.
I think it was just one of those stay in my room, this is boring kind of going on.
That's true, yeah. So at that stage, he was just a local councillor.
Yeah, just a local member, but
You'd want
beloved already.
Yeah, so that's what I was gonna say. Like, obviously, you're bored in your room, being like Super Mario World or whatever.
Yes,
but like parents are like, are they like, get out the good china? Like, Albo's coming to town.
100%. Yeah. Can we serve him some Yolumba? Or is this a, silverware tea kind of event? Yes. Like,
get out the good china or possibly order the good Chinese.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be like, that would be my family's, like, get it from the expensive Chinese shop.
Exactly. That would be the go to the wood fire pizza place instead of pizza.
Maybe maybe we can meet in the middle with some crust.
Yeah, well, I mean, wood fire kind of disappeared, like, as a concept, wood fire pizza kind of disappeared in the mid 2000s, I reckon.
Yeah, did Sydney get California Pizza Kitchen?
Oh, yeah. There's a huge one in Chatswood.
Is there?
Oh, it still exists?
Probably not.
I've never heard of it.
That was my first experience with wood fire pizza, and it was not good.
Not good? Why?
Well, the chain just sucked. I've since had, like, good pizza.
Yeah, right.
Wood fire pizza, and been like, oh, okay, this is what it's supposed to taste like.
Yeah, okay.
I was used to cardboard Domino's, you know?
Yeah. Well, in Horston Park, are there any good Portuguese burger shops?
Unfortunately not, but there was an amazing all-you-can-eat Pizza Hut at the end of my street.
Here we go.
They're growing up, I could walk to.
Jelly's on the soft serve.
Oh, and like all the little bacon, all the little bacon bits.
Yeah.
And like
also on the soft serve.
Exactly. And because it was
that actually sounds good.
Yeah. And because it was the early 90s, my parents would just give me $20 and say, like, walk down the street with your mate and like seat yourselves, entertain yourselves. And that was.
Did you feel like a bit of an adult, like we're going out to dinner?
Me and my friends, we would like go down and, you know, like sit in a booth, have as much post-mix Coke as we could stand, as much bacon bits.
Yeah.
Like, it was amazing. And at that time, before we knew what it was, they were using kale as the decorations between the kind of the buffet.
Oh, just in the gaps in the tray.
Exactly.
You can't eat this poison. It separates the pork anus from the pork anus.
Exactly. It was amazing. And what was great is that that was there for many years, and then it got replaced with a Strathfield car radios, but they kept...
They don't taste as nice.
No, but they kept the roof
and the
look of it. So like
that's interesting because yeah. I did a bit of research on the old All You Can Eat Pizza Huts and I found a...
Did you see the book?
Well, this is what I'm going to bring up. There's a it's
this is so exciting
like a coffee table book.
Yeah, eyes lit up.
A guy has gone around and he's taken photos of like all over the world too. So he's gone to Sydney, a lot of it North America, and it's just photos of what former sit-down Pizza Huts have been turned into but kept the facade.
Ah.
I did find two in Sydney just because it's a lot of them are posted on a website. So there's one called that's been turned into a funeral home called Olsen's Funerals.
Damn.
Kept the facade.
It should be a crematorium.
Yeah. It would be quite if it was a white lady's funeral.
They've still got the ovens.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Yeah.
Chuck them in there. Do you want deep pan or thin and crispy? Or stuffed crust.
Grandma would have wanted to be stuffed crust.
Grandma would have wanted plastic cheese right through the middle of her body.
She's laying down in there. Like, thinks she's like kale around, like coming out of the...
There's kale in the coffin?
Yeah. And another one in Belfield in New South Wales is a Korean restaurant. But you can see, like, it has...
Yeah.
They changed the color, obviously, yeah. But... Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So check that out. I mean, I would love a copy of this book. It's it's on my Christmas list if anyone wants to buy it for me. He's listening.
Yeah, or if the guy who wrote it is listening, give us a free copy.
I did a bit of research because there was one in Queanbeyan that's the one I used to go to as a kid. Always be, you know, your birthday parties and everything. And when it shut down, a series of restaurants tried to open in the same spot. And it's in a bit of a weird spot, just like the way it's positioned, it's not easy to get to, and it's just kind of in its odd area where there's nothing else really around. So the second place it opened was, they effectively tried to copy it. They were like, we're an all-you-can-eat pizza place, but it was just a different name. And on opening night, they were so underprepared.
What do you mean you don't have bacon bits?
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is what happened. They got so smashed with orders that the chef, who's just clearly someone who probably fresh out of prison, they were like, you can cook, can't you? And like, yeah, whatever. Wow, so they
a lot of assumptions there.
Yeah. Very bougie assumption of you, Drew. he's cooking pizza. He's probably an ex-con.
Probably just out of prison. He works in a restaurant.
Food service guy, yeah. Probably doing 25 to life just out of parole.
I'm making these assumptions for a reason that will become very clear.
All right.
it's the old silver spoon drill.
The reason I make these assumptions is because when the salad started running out, people started complaining. Where's my salad? Where's my salad?
Could have just got some of the kale from the separators.
They could have. Yeah. And then the server's going back and they're like, these people are complaining. And this person absolutely lost his fucking mind, snapped. This is opening night, marches out,
never go out,
and starts like just fucking flipping shit, throwing pizza and yelling at people and going, I've been wiping my fucking ass with your salad, your pieces of shit. Fucking spins out the door, one night opened.
Wow.
That was it.
Wow.
So that was the second space.
But there's still no explanation of why you thought he went to prison.
Well, his violent, you know, outbursts. Yeah. It does make more sense.
The violent outbursts.
It does make slightly more
sense. I was honestly...
The disdain for salad.
Yeah.
Disdain for salad.
Yeah, right. I was honestly...
Yeah. Also, anyone can be a fucking cook.
Yeah.
It's an easy job to get to out of prison.
All right.
I was honestly expecting you to be like, they were out of pizza, so they ordered from the Pizza Hut next door.
Mm. No, this is in the same building as the Pizza Hut.
All right.
And then for years, people were like, businesses would open there, and then immediately, like, they'd last six months, whatever, and everyone used to be like, this spot is cursed. Mm. This is a cursed spot. And then, like, as Ambrose opened, they've been doing fine ever since.
Nah.
Just turns out everyone else was shit.
It's like the spot opposite Newtown Hotel. That was considered, now it's Tokyo Taco, I think, but that was considered cursed ever.
Yes, yeah, they're doing
like, because Burger Fuel was there for like 10 years and then it became like a sub place, a pasta place. Mm. It was next to that stupid weed themed place where I did stand up comedy once.
Dumb Munchies.
Dumb Munchies. It sold munchy food, like food for when you're stoned.
I did stand up there once.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, it was a weed themed comedy night in a weed themed restaurant.
Which is crazy. Like, if you're stoned, all food on that strip is good. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Ogalo's is good.
That's
stoner foods. You don't need a special, you know.
Guzman and Gomez.
Guzman and Gomez.
Yeah, it's right across the street.
El Jana.
Yeah.
What other restaurants?
let's name them all. Yeah. We still got 35 minutes left.
That year.
All right, rolling Penny.
Newtown tie.
There are apparently, as of 2022, there are still 10 operating sit-down Pizza Huts.
Was there not a relaunch? I feel like at Alexandria, like in 2016 or something, it was like, we're bringing it back.
But there's one in Mascot, apparently.
That might be the one I'm thinking.
And there's one in St. Andrews, which is like near Campbelltown, it's the other one, the two that are, I guess, are close to us, if they're still open. Mm. But this was weird, I thought, because you mentioned the jelly cubes.
Mm-hmm.
The classic, iconic jelly cubes.
Of course.
I saw that there was a Vice article where someone visited one in Hobart, and there's this kind of whole big Mandela effect discussion, because they went in there and the jelly cubes were red and blue. And they were like, fuck that. The jelly cubes were red and green.
That's my memory.
That's my recollection too. So everybody's...
Oh, this is
do
like
you remember them red and green? Or red
I
and green?
Hate jelly, so...
What? I don't buy that for a second.
fuck you. I don't trust it. It's too wobbly.
Too wobbly.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the only cunt that wobbles.
Yeah.
Not fucking having my food me in my own backyard, which is what I call my mouth.
So what? They were always blue?
But yes, I remember them being red and green.
That's
it's Christmas colours.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people in the comments were like, some of people were like, no, I'm pretty sure it's blue. Or it seems like, I guess they changed them at some point before they went out, and then people are just having that weird mismemory that kind of spins them out.
Right.
And there was a few people just on a Reddit thread talking about their memories of it, either working there or being there. And there's a lot of, like, you know, 8th birthday parties and stuff. And this one cracked me up. It was like a kid is like, when I was about 8 or 9, I was getting a bowl of ice cream from the soft serve machine and the handle broke, and I just had to keep grabbing bowls and filling them up until someone noticed.
that's like Willy Wonka shit. Yeah. That rules.
But that would be like, that's something I would do, because I'd be too embarrassed to call out, and I'd just be like, just like stand there until somebody else notices.
You put on your Pizza Hut clip-on tie, and you're like, I guess I work here now.
End up in
prison. Pizza Hut All You Can Eat was the first time in my life I remember like eating too much that I got sick. Like that feeling.
Yep.
Like afterwards, like being in my grandmother's bathroom being like, I think I'm gonna like that. There's just too much. But like I was never a huge, and that was the dessert bar that did me in as well. I got too many like sour gummies on my soft serve.
Oh, it's one pizza and then you just go to the dessert bar. Tore it up. When you're a kid, all you want is sugar.
True.
I think like there was one in George Street for the longest time. Because I think when I was like 18.
Yeah.
Yeah, this makes us sound like dorks, but we used to go into the city to play Counter-Strike at the internet cafes.
Yeah, I used to do that too.
Yeah, okay.
No, keep going.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was going to say, it makes me sound like a dork, but then I realized what kind of podcast we're doing and that we all have the exact same hobbies. And we would do we'd probably go to the Pizza Hut or the Taco Bell that was next to it and be like, this fucking Gamer Fuel, dude. I was it was the first time I watched Kill Bill as well. I think we were 17 because we wouldn't have been able to get into the movies to see Kill Bill.
Yeah.
And we were very excited.
Because it's opposite George Street Cinemas, right?
Yeah.
And you can stab people at the Land Cafe.
Yeah, we played a ton of Counter-Strike. Maybe we were there at the same time.
Maybe.
Two ships passing in the night, destined to be friends 10 to 12 years later.
You a Counter-Strike guy, Charles?
No, I'm not. But
my man. You two guys into lifting weights and shit?
No.
Hell yeah.
No, I was into playing Final Fantasy by myself. No friends around. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's like one of my favorite memories of Pizza Hut is like when they came out with... Do you remember when they came out with gourmet pizzas? Like they did a thing where they're like, we do like the bougie shit too. And their thing was it just had a giant fucking meatball like on each slice. And I was playing Final Fantasy X at home.
Beautiful.
Ordered a whole one and ate the whole one while my friends were at a party. And I was like, maybe I'm doing the wrong thing. But this feels so right. I've got level 99.
No, that's living.
That is living. It's living. And I took it all the way.
I did have a question for you, Charles. What was your first job? Was it local in the area?
No, my first job was Dolce and Gelato in Newtown, scooping gelato.
Nice.
Always been a hospitality boy, but...
Does it put you off ice cream?
No.
You know how if you work at KFC, it puts you off fried chicken?
No, I can still eat ice cream.
Good.
It was that, and then being an...
I would venture to say that gelato is prepared in a less disgusting way than KFC.
I mean, by the time it gets to the shop... But, like, wait, what's
ice cream? Were you about to ask what's ice cream?
The beginning.
We're pivoting into how stuff works, the podcast.
I just had this image of, like, getting a pig and you feed it into a machine and then ice cream.
It's not foie gras.
Yeah. Anyway, what?
My first job in Aix-en-Provence.
I'm not an expert.
Charles, were you horrified when you went in the back room and there was the pig being force-fed chocolate chip cookie dough?
This is capitalism.
How's gelato get made?
This is just like
in a gelato machine.
Yeah, it's milk and
eggs. At a hallowed establishment like Dolce and Gelato on site.
Well, and that's a deliberate pun, that name, on Dolce.
That was it. Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's what attracted me.
Okay, yeah.
Hand in my resume as a teenager with no experience.
Okay.
And to get paid, you know, $10 cash in hand.
Beautiful. Those days, yeah, I remember those days.
Oh, it was a beautiful time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that place still operating?
Called Messina now.
It's on the corner of King Street and Wilson Street.
Mm. Oh, was that where the New Zealand ice cream was for a while?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right outside Waywood's.
Where
some of us hosted a little loved comedy show for 2 years.
Isn't that, what's that now? Isn't that a different ice cream shop?
I don't know what it is now, but it's right next to the sex shop.
There's the sex shop, the bank. The sushi train.
Yeah.
And...
The tobacconist.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's like Mexican themed. It's like I don't know what that business is. It's very colourful, whatever it is.
Yeah.
A lot of neon. Anyway. Beautiful. Yeah, okay.
But not in Helston Park.
That's okay.
But that's okay. We're all suburbs here.
So did you ever work in Helston Park, or once you took off at Dolce and Gelato, you're like, that's it?
I just kept my eyes
on
the
horizon. His brother took the only available job.
Yeah, exactly.
We got one space going at the video shop.
At the video store, and that's it.
Yeah, you got to go to Sum Hill.
So what was after the gelato store?
Mm. Oh, that was the Ensemble Theatre in Kirribilli.
I know where that is.
I've been there.
And as an usher.
Was that a good job?
That was great.
It feels very community run. I didn't understand that any of those people were getting paid when I went there.
Well, it was a great job because part of your job was watching the play.
Ah, okay.
You technically had to be there had to call the ambulance quite a few times. It's quite an elderly clientele.
Wow.
You know? Because they have the discretionary income to be able to support the arts here in Sydney.
Yeah.
But
they haven't heart attacks during Midsummer Night's Dream. And you gotta call the authorities. Is that what happened?
Well, I had a couple kind of come out and faint. But like that was a rare occurrence. Otherwise it was...
Fights in the car park.
A couple of that. A
couple of glassings.
Just kind of watching plays. It's kind of like, it's family run. It's where the playwright David Williamson kind of exclusively hosts all of his kind of plays now, which aren't as hard-hitting as they used to be, but they're kind of more like, you know, still fun.
Yeah.
And, you know...
I've read The Removalists.
Yeah.
Was that him?
That was him.
This is a gelato situation.
That's not the kind of work he puts on the ensemble now, but that is him.
It's a bit more watered down these days.
Yeah, it's a bit more like, you know...
He has to
like,
be, because he's killing people out there with his hard-hitting play.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
It's a bit more like, you know, like, franking credits are so hard on your investment property and...
he's writing about?
Oh, capital gains is a bitch.
You're moving to Kirribilli, eventually it takes hold of you a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah, true.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's hard to stay as an artist, isn't it?
That's what happened to... Who's the guy that wrote Glengarry Glen Ross?
David Mamet.
David Mamet. He's, like, gone all right-wing these days.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I had a news article, which is, like... Because I was trawling around to see any, like, local Helston Park stuff. And it's a lot of just your classic Sydney suburb. There's a bit of like petty crime here and there, a break-in here. This one stood out to me, not because it's like of what happened, but just the insane way that news.com.au tried to hook everybody in to read the story. Because it goes, a violent robber, police likened to Nintendo video game icon Mario, was arrested after he allegedly held up a petrol station in Sydney's Inner West overnight. Despite the comedic description, the robber was anything but, as he allegedly entered a 7-Eleven on New Canterbury Road, Hurlston Park, saying he had a gun and punched a worker in the face.
But upwards. He had to, he stood under his chin and he jumped upwards. Went,
And a flower went boop, out the top of his head.
And then he backflipped.
He escaped down a sewage thing. So police were on scene about 3:20 a.m. after the man fled the store when the attendant hit the hold-up alarm. And then it goes just about what happened. And he goes, this is a police quote, "He jumped into a couple of houses to avoid being caught. In making his escape, the man dropped a stolen
banana skin turtle shell."
Red tortoise turtle shell.
They're the bad ones.
"In making his escape, the man dropped stolen $1 and $2 coins, cigarette packets, scratchies, the 7-Eleven worker's iPhone, and finally a satchel bag full of cash. All were recovered." And then police quote, "He sounded like Mario the way change was falling," a police officer who helped chase the man said. Now, correct me if I'm wrong.
The way change is falling.
Wow.
That does not happen to Mario. He collects coins. He doesn't have them fall out, does he?
He's confusing it with Sonic.
That's
who drops rings.
Sonic drops rings. So this fucking cop is an idiot. Never played a goddamn Super Nintendo in his life.
Well, that's why we say all cops are bastards in this. Because they get video game facts wrong. Not because of anything else they've ever done.
That's
playing Fantastic Fantasy.
That would mobilize me instantly. I'd be like, Laura Coleman, direct me to your nearest anarchist bookstore.
But what, like growing up there, was it
a great place for petty crime because you had great getaway routes of like Canterbury Road and New Canterbury Road.
Yeah, okay.
Which is where that
jumping
famous
over the back fences as well. That's
well,
nice.
And you can ignore a stop sign.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No roundabouts getting in your way.
No consequences. No, I remember very near that 7-Eleven, which I have such fond memories of because of its delicious Slurpees, which were on the way home from school. There's like, you go to the intersection where the McDonald's is and you turn right. And there was a chemist there, which I remember was held up at gunpoint like multiple times to the point where they had to have security out the front of this chemist.
Wow.
But yeah, like, I mean,
gunpoint's hectic. Like, you don't need much gunpoint crime.
Like, it was crazy. But it was because, like, it's on Canberra and New Canterbury Road, so you could just gun it afterwards.
Yeah, nice. Nice.
And it's also kind of like, it's funny because Hurlston Park is kind of one of those suburbs that is, like, right on the border of what we debate on the difference between inner west and west. So you'd go down New Canterbury Road past the RSL and you cross the Cooks River and you're not in Kansas anymore. Like, you're in the west now.
Okay.
Right.
Similarly, if you go down, I think it's Parramatta Road and you pass the intersection of Parramatta Road and Liverpool Road, it's where the Red Rooster is. It's like,
I know exactly where that is.
That's how you know you're in the west.
That's how you know
you're
in the west.
That's how I work it out, is if I start seeing Red Roosters, I'm in Western Sydney.
That's right.
You know.
It's one at the airport. Yeah.
I fucking
throw a spanner in the works.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, no, that's Western Sydney. Yeah. That's just how it works.
It's like an embassy.
If you step on, if you step into the food court there, you've got diplomatic immunity. You can do Western Sydney shit,
man. When I step in there, I don't have diarrhea immunity. Right now,
I fucking love Red Rooster.
I love Red Rooster, but every time I eat it, which is every time I go to the airport, I get horrifically sick afterwards.
Just in time
it draws
for your flight,
you back every time.
Well, it was my first job was Red Rooster in Queenbo, and I used to like make my own custom burgers. Like, half the time be like, brother, let me back there. Like, I'm a virtuoso back there because
they would hate
together.
That. Like, they would hate that.
Now I stick to the chicken and gravy roll. Keep it simple.
Yeah. Like, stuff chips on strip sub combo.
Yeah, not bad, not bad. Didn't like their strips. Too tangy. Anyway,
But if you let me back there,
Didn't you have something about Cooks River?
Oh, Well, Cooks River is, like, very famous because it's obviously such a huge river. I got a couple of facts about it. Also, like, one of the most polluted rivers in Sydney.
Sure is.
local pride.
Yep.
But it is one of the... It was one of the first places that Annette Kellerman used to Annette Kellerman Aquatic Centre in
Who's that?
Marrickville. She's, like, a famous swimmer. And it was one of the first places that she used to swim in, and it was she got in trouble with the law there because she was one of the first female swimmers to go there not wearing her pantaloons.
Wow. What year was that?
This is in
1994.
Like yeah. Albert had to come to the house and be like, "Hey guys, you gotta let people not wear pantaloons." But they're trying to revive the Cooks River now because like it has had literally like 100 years of poison in it because it's had wool washers, slaughterhouses, tanneries, all just bleeding into the river, and it's completely destroyed it to the point where like people were encouraged not to swim in it. Mm-hmm. There was a great article where one old guy's like, "I fucking swim in it. Who cares? Water's black. Get on in, baby." They were saying that like a large part of the restoration was the COVID lockdowns when people were forced to kind of like go outside and go on walks and people would be like, "Holy shit, this is a like look at it, be like, we're outside. This could be awesome
if
like,
it was less gross."
Yeah. And so people were like, "All right, let's fix it up and get people there."
I went for a walk around there recently, and I just went and parked, and it is like nice. And if it was less polluted, it would be lovely. But I went for this walk, and I guess I didn't figure out the track right or whatever, but I parked and I got out and I start walking, and then there's like a golf club, like pretty close to
Marifle
it.
Marifle Golf Club.
Yeah, wherever it is. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, that seems like, I guess it's just the golf club. I'll keep walking. I'm like, the path is kind of disappearing. And then I'm strong. And then I'm just like walking in on the golf course, and there's people like trying to play around me. And I'm like, I'm dodging golf balls and shit. And then you get to the end, and it's where you tee off. Yeah. And then you go over this bit, and you go down down the hill, and then you see stairs up to a bridge. And that's where like the walking path starts. But I've just come the stupidest way through the golf course like an idiot.
Man, this might not surprise you based on our past interactions, but I have done the exact same thing in San Diego, US. We thought we were cutting through back to our hostel, and halfway through we're like, "Man, this grass is so nice." And there's like sand. Is this Coronado Beach? And then someone's like, "Get off the fucking green." And we just had like this gigantic 7-Eleven like things full of Dr. Pepper. And we're just getting yelled at by these American guys like, "You're ruining it." They're being like, "Wow, the sand in the middle of grass. Like San Diego's beautiful." The little holes?
What are these little white things?
Are these man-made holes, or are these naturally occurring? Yeah. And they have flags sprouting right out of it. What is it, Super Mario? Cook's River.
Oh man, I did many a geography project on Cook's River, and
I love that.
It's pollution.
Were you getting samples and stuff for like a science experiment?
Oh, I was just like, the Cook's River bike path and was like the best part of living in Helston Park because it was awesome. Like, it was awesome, and like, yes, many a school project I had to do on why it was polluted, which had a lot to do with, you know, basically in the 1970s, they were like, "We don't want this river to have its own natural banks anymore. We need to concrete the shit out of it." Mm. So basically part of why it was so badly polluted is they just concreted the whole thing.
The riverbed.
The riverbed.
They
concreted the entire thing. So it just basically just resembled like the sewer canal from Terminator 2.
Great.
For a long time, yeah, you know, with like trolleys and, you know, T-1000 and all of that kind of stuff. But Cook's River Bike Park was awesome because it was, you know, you just went through past all these beautiful parks, and you could get on it if you were a cyclist, and you could get on it at Helston Park, and you'd go through all the way to Sydney Olympic Park without having to go on a road. So you go on bike paths, and there are different junctions where you cross roads, but you've got special crossings to do that. And it was great. Like, you go past,
so it goes past Homebush.
Yeah, so you go,
I think I might have been able to see this river from my from a previous house that I lived
in.
Okay.
I could see I'd sit on my balcony, I could see Sydney Olympic Park.
Now I've got to sort of assume that when they've concreted it up, and then to bring it back, they just, like, all the Italian granddads came out with a hose and just hosed the concrete down to fill it back up.
They were disgusted that it wasn't Pebble Creek, first and foremost. Yeah. But, you know, the concrete is fine.
Maybe it's like a lion statue every 50 meters.
I think that's good. That's good. They should have those, for the flood levels. it's like this high up on the line. it's up to a
knowing what we kind of know about it, like, so toxic, out of the way. Was it like a teenage drinking spot at all where you'd be like, let's go to the fucking park?
Oh, yeah, because there's heaps of pedestrian thoroughfare bridges.
Yeah.
Mm. So, like, you get heaps of people, like, kind of like... And, like, kind of, like, little dead-end streets and cul-de-sacs and, like, I myself, in a brown 1990 Honda Civic, have had many a amorous moment in a car park next to the Cooks River.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, they were good times. Yeah.
Brown Honda Civic, huh?
Oh, hell yeah. Beautiful.
Hell yeah, bro.
The color of
hell
love.
Yeah. Yes.
No, that rules.
Particularly if you've been to the Pizza Hut. It's the color you're feeling. Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic.
Did you...
Brown on the streets, brown in the sheets.
That's Ray Hastings.
Guys, comedy's really hard.
Growing up, like, I assume anyone who went to high school in Sydney, basically, it was Heartbreak High, the original 90s series. This is my visual for what it was like to go to high school in Sydney.
You went to high school like 3 hours away.
Yeah,
like,
it's not very far.
It's not that far. Queen it's not that different.
We had a very similar.
We had a fucking... Farm
fight club.
We had the farm. We had a fight club. I got my tractor license.
We're talking like Queen Bee and just out of Canberra, right?
Yeah.
Where you can buy porn and fireworks, right? Or is that Fish Week?
That's Fish Week, yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Still part of the ACT.
Okay.
Yeah. Queen Bee was where everyone in Canberra went to gamble and drink when it was illegal in the ACT, in like the 20s. Yeah.
So you think school in Sydney is Heartbreak High no matter where you go?
Well, especially in the inner west, because that's...
So
I
thought it was all
I suppose so.
Like exotic... To you.
Well, what was the school you went to, Chelsea?
Well, I went to Newtown High School of the Performing Arts.
Yeah.
So it was
where they filmed Heartbreak High.
Yeah.
Was it?
It was like Heartbreak High, but like I started high school in 1999, and like there was still...
So a lot of those kids did go into act from that high school.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah. So no, but it was still like... You know, like first week of year seven, we saw someone out the front of school who just OD'd. So it was still kind of like grungy Newtown at that time.
Yeah.
But like, yes, I went to Performing Arts High School. Yes, there was lots of drama. Mm. But like...
Did you meet Drastic?
I met many a guy channeling Drastic.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Eyebrow rings.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Baby.
Your opposite one right now.
Yeah.
It constantly refers to himself as the Drastic of the pod.
I think... Never have.
Yes, you have. We can dig it out.
I've referred to myself as the Drastic. Not that I don't believe
Drastic
it.
Of the pod.
That means you're the Anita.
I don't know who that is. I've never...
That's Drastic's girlfriend from Heartbreak High, Avatar.
Oh, well, I don't mind that at all.
Isn't that the woman that married Leighton Hewitt? Is that different?
No.
That's Beck Cartwright from Home and Away.
Yes.
Anita. Okay. That's not Anita?
I don't know.
Okay, my bad.
I've never watched Heartbreak High.
Missing out.
Were there any alumni from your time that went on to do anything like acting?
Yeah, Yale Stone, who's been in Orange Is the New Black.
Oh, she's massive.
She's
a big deal.
Yeah. We did many a production together. And like,
you were in her year?
She was kind of 1 or 2 years above me.
Okay.
But,
yeah, cool.
Yeah, like now it's kind of, like now it's more of a...
Did you get her on the pod?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Like she's probably like the biggest one.
Okay.
But then there's another guy called Lindsay Farris, who was star of that show Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Oh, yeah. I've seen Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Wait, yeah.
Great. Isn't that the Living Dead
spin-off
or something?
With Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The Evil Dead movies.
Is he... Spin-off. Went to high school with...
I went to high school with him as well.
Right. Okay, cool.
And then like, because it was like dance, music, and drama. So then like, people in respective fields have kind of gone on to do kind of other significant things. But it was still like it had just become a performing arts high school because Petersham Girls and Newtown Boys merged. But whereas, like, now, because my brother went there, James Cameron, of course. And,
well, he had to.
Exactly.
That's how you make the abyss.
Yeah. It's now more of a, like it pumps people out into the industry
that
more
would be
so.
An incredible hack for them to be like, James Cameron attended this school.
Yeah.
Ever heard of him?
Avatar 2?
Yes, the Way of the Water?
We did lose the file photo, so we can't show you.
What was your because we've had someone on from a performing arts high school before, right? I think Jan did it. And there was like, you could choose to major in certain things. What was the major that you did?
Well, I did drama and, yeah, but basically we had kids who got in for all, and the first year you get in, you're kind of streamed with like for like. So all the dance kids are together, so on and so forth. Mm. And then everyone after year eight, everyone's just kind of in it together. So like you had some kids, like I had a friend who was kind of like a bit of a child star. He's like the mum, Kinder Surprise. Like that was him on that ad. And like, but like he got over it very quickly. And so then for him, it was just kind of like a good local high school where the population was 70% women because of the dance intake. So he was just like, I'm here, I'm not moving. And then
Why not? I mean, sure, but that's the percentages.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. He was just like, yeah, I was in a Kinder Surprise.
Yeah, I'll save the line for you.
Whereas I think now you like have to do at least one performing arts subject for your HSC.
Right.
Which like most people do like organically, but yeah.
Okay.
But there you go. Yeah.
That's good.
Had a great time.
Yeah.
And now you own and operate beloved Marrickville Institution, Matinee.
Mm. I sure do.
How did that come about?
Yeah.
Well, I think like working in hospitality and working in the performing arts, like there's like a lot of similarities. I've always been, I don't know, like attracted to the kind of notion of like putting on a show and kind of like being like a consummate host. And yeah, so kind of just as one does an arts degree and they're doing a lot of work in the drama society, and then all of a sudden they finish that degree and they try out a couple of times unsuccessfully for NIDA, and then they're left working in hospitality and
do almost 200 episodes of a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But they don't have a coffee shop to show for. They don't have a successful business in the inner west to show for.
We have several successful business ideas.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Radio stores.
And right across from Matinee at the Vic is where those ideas are born.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Pizza Hut, all you can eat, but there's booze there.
Well, you mentioned that you enjoy putting on a show.
Yes. So
I remember you telling me this because I recently got married and we were talking about this. And you mentioned your first dance. I don't know if you want to tell us what happened, because it absolutely...
For sure.
It was incredible.
What happened?
So, you know, we were putting together a dance and I was like, well, I want to put on a show. Mm. So we did a choreographed dance to Michael Jackson's The Way You Make Me Feel. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with The King of Pop, but in the film clip he
I don't believe the allegations, if that's what you're saying.
No. Moving right along.
Is that what you're saying?
No. Well, he does like this dance break in which he kind of like thrusts the ground.
Yeah.
So for our wedding dance, I did that entire solo.
What's your partner doing?
So she's kind of like framing me at this. Like we're doing a lot of partner dance.
Was it a surprise though? Like that you were doing the solo?
No, it was a surprise for the guests.
Okay.
But my wife Gabby and I had been doing rehearsals.
Yeah.
I'd gone to the choreographer with a vision months before.
Nice.
So
Andrew, did your wedding involve a choreographer? Or?
I pitched the idea. That's like, because I love when I was a kid, Michael Jackson was my favorite. Oh, that film clip in particular was my favorite. I love that song to this day.
Drew used to wear a white glove.
Oh, beautiful!
I did it once to a date, and I got too scared to a double date when I was in year three, I got too scared to
We famously mentioned it in our best man, me and Alex mentioned it in our best man speech.
I wasn't listening to that. I was too busy getting drunk.
Yeah. Because you don't recognize comedy.
I got too scared to take it out. So I like surreptitiously sort of took it off and left it in my pocket.
Yeah, nice.
But yeah, it was like a double date to McDonald's, me and my best friend and
Steven. I was also a huge MJ fan as a kid.
He's great.
I think it was part of the right course. Time. Like, you were born in 86.
I think you kind of got to be, right?
And it was right around when the History double album came out. History tour, of course. It was like...
I remember, like, that was when, because we used to, living in Holland, you'd do like trips back to England, but occasionally you wouldn't fly, you'd go by car, which meant you had to drive through Belgium and then France and then take the Channel Tunnel over. So it'd be like a 5-hour drive. So my parents would put me on like making mixtape duty, and I would get like, you remember like Now That's What I Call Music? Like the compilations of like the top charting hits of the year.
Like I'd So get, Fresh or something?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, well, yeah. That must be what they're called in Australia.
Now That's What I Call Music. That's what you guys call it in Holland?
That's yeah, it's terrible called, now. Now That's What I Call Music.
It's called So Fresh 2008.
No, it's called never Now That's What I Call Music 93. As I remember my parents very clearly, because I would spend hours like pouring over like recording these like CDs onto like a cassette tape for the car. But it would be like the most popular songs of the time. So you'd get like your Wonderwalls or your like Country House by Blur. Yeah. But then with like six uninterrupted Michael Jackson tracks from history in a row.
That's and they'd good.
Be
yeah,
like,
get it
all. And they'd be like, Jamie, I like these mixtapes. Do there have to be this many Michael Jackson interludes? And I was just like, you guys do not understand curation or art.
Yeah.
Of course they do. He's the fucking king of pop. And if he's ever accused of anything, I think he might be innocent.
Yeah. You know what was crazy is when he died, I think about this quite a lot.
Oh, yeah.
When he died and all the news readers would like, they kept calling him the king of pop. Like it was a real place. There was like the king of pop, Michael Jackson, has died this afternoon at the age of blah, blah, blah. And it was just like they kept all, like the, everyone did it.
The citizens of pop are all mourning.
Yeah.
The citizens of pop are calling for a national holiday.
All the flags are at half mast in pop.
I remember when he died, there was an amazing impromptu dance party out the front of the hub.
At your lounge room.
Yeah, well, every night.
Where's the hub?
The hub in Newtown?
Near the station.
Like a massive impromptu, and like the cops came and then everyone just like no, no. And the cops didn't shut it down and then people kept dancing.
Right. That's
and
cool.
Having a great time. Like, yeah.
I used to do a similar thing to you when I like, if we had family over or something, people would like take turns putting songs on, and I always wanted to be like, I want everyone to love Michael Jackson as much as I do. And I was like 8 or something. And my granddad, who all he listens to this day is like Charlie Pride and fucking Slim Dusty and Johnny Cash. And that's all he wants to listen to.
And Slim Shady.
Slim
Shady, Slim Dusty.
And Snoop Dogg. And I was always like, I want Stan to like Michael Jackson because it's so good. And so I like snuck a song on. Just one of his lesser known ones. And I was just sort of like watching Stan. I was like, Stan, what do you think about this? And he goes, oh yeah, she's got a nice voice. And I said, it's Michael Jackson. He goes, that buddy is, that sounds like a shield, huh? He's a buddy, I don't like him at all.
Like, all right. Going to a place, I can't remember what it was because I can't remember like why it was physically linked to Michael Jackson, but it was one of those places like, you know how he does that famous like lean where he can lean really far forward at like a straight angle where like you could lock your feet into it and it would force your body to do that. So you could it was a photo op place where you could just be like, I'm doing it.
That's sick.
You better believe I got a photo there.
It's been murder. Wish on the I calves.
Had. Yeah. Mm. Not these pins, baby. But, some people can hack it.
Yeah.
Shall we get into the final two, Kurt?
Yeah, let's get into it. Okay, so Charles, if someone asks you, hey, I'm coming to Hurlstone Park for one day, 24 hours, I need an itinerary, what do you tell them to do over 24 hours, morning, afternoon, and night? Where do you tell them to go?
Okay, I tell them to get out and have... Oh, get out of the train station.
Right. Well, okay. Get out.
That's important context. Get out. Feels like you're like your nose was about to bleed and you're like, get out.
Whilst you still can. Well, nowadays I say go and have breakfast at Kylon Eatery. Go walk down the main street, Crinan Street, and say hi to Con the Cobbler, who's been there longer than I have been alive.
Wow. Con the Cobbler.
Cool. Con the Cobbler came up in research as like they're very like the Hurlstone Park version of the Olympia Milk Bar guy.
Yes.
Like just a guy who's been there forever.
He is still there.
Right, but he makes shoes.
He makes shoes.
And Peach Cobbler.
Right. Does he cut keys?
He might.
If you ask him nicely.
He might cut keys. Funny story about Con is like, yes, I'm... was an actor, but I'm also a dancer. And I got very into the tap dogs at a certain time, I'm still a tap, still a tap dancer, and I got Con to make me a pair of the kind of like tap dogs boots, which he found he found very like very amusing, but he was kind of like he was really into it because you know like the man's a cobbler,
of course,
and he was different. Like, hey, you come back here, I make all your shoes, they'll last you forever, and so he's great. So
you're telling me these dogs they tap?
Yes, but why?
You can woof, you can tap all night,
exactly. And then I just like make a beeline to the Ewan Park, to the Cooks River, and just kind of go for a lovely walk there.
Okay,
nice. And then, you know, by that stage you're probably a little bit tired. Get yourself a delicious Slurpee from the 7-Eleven.
Damn right.
Maybe a soft serve from the, you know, aforementioned McDonald's, and then you just got to finish it probably with a beer and a schnitty at the Helston Park RSL.
That's a day.
That's nice.
Like,
yeah, let's do that.
Like, yeah, that's a day.
Yeah. There's a few in 189 episodes. There are a couple where we're like, I'd do that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
one of them.
That sounds
yeah,
good.
That's
yeah,
that's
like a nice
It's just kind of like walking and eating.
Yeah.
It's
get
lovely.
To meet this cobbler.
Yeah.
I want to meet this cobbler.
Yeah.
And Helston Park also, because of the land sizes, like has some ostentatiously amazing houses. And because it's often like the suburb that people bought like a house when they had just enough money, like they have renovated it when they've had just enough money. So like around the corner from us was this kind of like black glass 1980s kind of like Scarface type like Miami mansion, and then towards the Cooks River is like a house which is like just, I want to have like an Aspen, Colorado ski chalet. So, like, people
in Helston Park.
Yeah, in Helston Park.
It needs to be in Helston Park.
Because it's just like, when I go there, I've got feel the like money. We've got the concrete. Let's make it happen.
We've got a dream.
You know.
Cool.
So yeah. So like that. Like, you know what we call WOG architecture. It's beautiful.
I mean, we wouldn't call it
par excellence.
You can call it what you want. No, absolutely. Yes.
So the final question, we might know the answer to this based on the wonderful answers you've given to previous, but when all is said and done, you've achieved everything you want out of life, would you settle down in Helston Park?
Hell no, because my parents will never leave, so I'll always get enough Helston Park.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah,
that's nice.
The best of both worlds.
There we go. And, you know, if you're getting a coffee in the morning in Helston Park, you can also just drive right on down to Matinee Coffee on Addison Road. Plug your business, Charles.
I would love to. Please come to Matinee Coffee. We've been open for 6 years. Open 7 days a week. Make pastries in-house. Beautiful all-day lunch menu. And
they're very good.
Great coffee.
Very good.
And
very good food.
I'm there most of the time.
That's right.
Yes, very much.
So and if we bring a pair of tap shoes, could we get you to soft shoe a little?
Oh, mate. I've often got a pair in my backpack, so just say
so
the
yes.
word.
Yes. Oh, man, that would, if I bring Amy there and I'm just like, hey, Charles, do a little tap for me. And she's like, wow, what power you have as a podcast host.
But definitely check it out. Food is fantastic.
Matinee fucking
great.
Rocks. We go there
Come
all
visit
the time.
Me. I live above it.
And
we do.
What do we have to plug, Drew?
We have a Patreon. You can pay $5 a month. Get you 2 bonus episodes where we do a lot of fun stuff that doesn't quite fit with this, but it's still a lot of fun.
And let's give a special thanks to Jackie Wright, because Al is in Melbourne right now, crushing at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. He just messaged us 2 seconds ago saying he sold out every single show and he got a 5-star review from Steve Bennett. So use your ghost. I mean, obviously I'm lying, but Al is a very funny, talented comedian. He's doing Sydney Comedy Festival as well. You should watch him.
It's a great show. I've seen it. It's a very good show.
Yeah, it's a fantastic show. But thanks to Jack for
no
filling
worries.
In.
Happy
for
to be
Al
here.
And riffing up like a god.
Yeah, I'll be back.
We
Jason
will be
Oyster
back
soon.
Next week. We will see you later, everybody.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Nice.